If you can all rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, I would appreciate it.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, that brings us on to item number 3. This is for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the agenda for February 16th, 2021. Austin, do we have any changes?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. We recommend that for today's agenda that we move numbers 7 and 8 to immediately after number 9. That would put staff reports in front of those items.
All right.
And then we also recommend to continue number 18 to the March 2nd County Commission meeting at the courthouse / Zoom.
Noted.
Number 18 deals with the fire district and the energy grant.
Noted. Thank you. Is there any discussion regarding today's agenda? I'll give everybody a second to unmute if they have any questions. Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Clay Mitchell, move to approve today's agenda with the noted adjustment.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Keith.
Was that the request for discussion, did that include public comment?
Yes. Sorry if I wasn't specific enough. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda?
Hey, Mr. Chairman, I'm just reminding you that Commissioner Gilman is absent from today's meeting. That needs to be mentioned. Thank you.
Thank you. So is there any public comment? Going once? All right, not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
Yeah, I believe it's a move to approve today's agenda with the noted adjustment.
All right, I will second that. There is a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to item number 4. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the minutes for January 5th, 2021. Is there any public comment regarding the minutes? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you entertain a motion?
Commissioner Mitchell moved to approve the minutes for January 5th, 2021.
I will second that motion. So there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to item number 5, which is the consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding the consent agenda today? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Clay Mitchell, move to approve the consent agenda and outline today's agenda.
All right, I will second that motion. So there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. On to item number 6. This is public comment. I will give about 30 seconds to let folks unmute if there's any public comment regarding anything on or off the agenda today. For those that are calling in, you can use *6 to unmute yourself. You can also use the chat feature if you'd like to send us a question or comment. Not seeing anyone interested in public comment, we are going to move on. Item number 7, this is discussion only. Updates and discussion from county lobbyists and staff regarding upcoming bills and legislative action affecting Story County.
Mr. Chairman, is one of those items we moved over 7 and 8 to after number 9?
My apologies.
No problem.
Item number 9 is discussion only. No action, no public comment. This is committee and staff reports. We're going to start off with Mike Nevin, all things water and sewer.
Thank you, Chairman Carmona, and Vice Chairman Mitchell. I'm going to give you updates on both the infrastructure projects. I'll start with the hillside tanks. The cure process for the first new tank was completed the end of last week, the interior curing. Yesterday, the crews were on site and installed the hardware for the manual float tank assembly. They also began the process of the interior cleaning and the required disinfection of that tank. That tank, or that process, is scheduled to be completed by tomorrow. The electricians are scheduled to also be on site and complete the necessary wiring that will allow for Sierra Controls to install some temporary communications between this tank and the water treatment plant. We're on schedule then to fill the first new tank on Thursday. There's a required 5-day soak time that will follow. Following that, the testing process will begin, the water for sampling. The tank will then be drained and refilled. Required tests by the State Bureau of Safe Drinking Water and samples will be drawn at that time, lab analyzed, and hopefully non-detects for bacteria and other organic compounds. Once all this sampling has been completed and the test results prove negative, it's anticipated that this tank will go online March 5th. Once that happens, the demolition of the existing 200,000 and the 90,000 gallon tank will begin hopefully by March 8th, and then the grading process will follow, and allowing for the construction of the second new tank. So, moving along. Had a little bit of weather delays, as you well know, but working through those. On the Gold Hill Wastewater Treatment Project, prior to the storms at the end of January, the excavation work was completed. The slab poured for the plant tank. We did encounter a bit of a problem down there with the clay soils underneath the slab. We determined that it was necessary to excavate an additional 2-foot depth in order to get some more stable ground and to allow for more secure foundation and footings for the slab that's going to hold this tank in place. that incurred a little bit of cost for the project. We did request that this change order be approved, and USDA did concur. So there's approximately $7,600 that will come out of the contingency funds for the project in order to complete that task. But then again, it is complete. Good news, the plant tank is being moved to the site as we speak here this morning. It may be en route, and following this meeting, I will be headed down to the site to take a look-see and make sure everything is going smoothly and as planned. So some good news there. The other thing I'm going to mention to you, and due to the fact that this project is a required by all American by the federal agencies because of the funding, and which makes sense. I have no problem with that. However, it does incur some delays on the part, specifically of the manufacturing of the metal building that is going to cover the treatment plant once it's in place there. And this is due to, I guess, required shortages across the nation of raw materials and, of course, manpower, being the fact we're in some unprecedented times, so as you well understand. Completion date is going to change a bit due to this delay in getting the metal building on site. So we reached out to USDA. They concurred. We did have to add some project time to this project in order to make sure that everything is completed once the building arrives on site. The building is expected to arrive, hopefully, by mid to end of April, so it pushes the completion date out a bit into about mid July, but it's out of our hands. So USDA is in concurrence, as I mentioned. We did receive the agreement terms and conditions from MB Energy to allow for the installation of the required three-phase power to the project site and the line extensions as required. We did reach out to their design team for some clarifications, had a meeting with them just to get in our minds exactly what it was and to make sure we were all on the same page. There'll be some cost incurred by the county to MB Energy. These are costs that have to be submitted up front per the agreement. But those costs, we find out, are in fact reimbursable from project funds, so that's a good thing. At this point, we will be requesting some time with both Austin, Jennifer, and Keith to review the contract and probably put it in front of the board for your approval at your first meeting in March. And then we could move forward with NV Energy and they can get this project booked out on their end. So, some news there. Also, just to keep everybody in the loop here, the existing septic system, of course, as you're aware, has to be kept in service while this project is continuing. The site for the new plant, of course, is over some of the existing leach fields. Those leach fields, of course, were compromised, some removed. This puts some strain on the existing tank down there. And increase some pumping time and also costs and incurred by both the contractor that the county utilizes, that's Water Septic, and the county's own crews and their vacuum truck. We were finding initially that they were having to visit the site 3 to 4 times a week, and that was just unacceptable, so we took a look to see what we could do to alleviate some of these ongoing challenges with the existing septic tank. It was determined that we could, in fact, reactivate one of the leach fields to the easternmost portion of the project. Try that to see if it would, in fact, begin alleviating some of the stress on the tank. good news, it has, and thus decreasing manpower and pumping costs for the septic tank down there. We're monitoring this to see how it's going to go. It may become necessary to have the contractor install a temporary leach field on site down there. But this cost would be much, much less than having to continue with pumping costs and paying for those. They could get quite exorbitant, and we want to avoid that at any cost. So we're keeping an eye on it, and we'll continue to monitor and see how that goes. And if need be, the additional temporary leach field will likely have to be put in place. But just wanted to make everybody aware of that, what's going on down there at the site. With that being said, that's my report, and I thank you very much, unless you have questions.
Thank you, Mike. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions for Mike?
No, good to go, thank you.
Thank you. All right, Mike, thank you. Good luck down there today.
Thank you.
All right, that brings us to the Sheriff's Office. Do we have Sheriff Antonora with us today?
Good morning, Commissioners. No, I have nothing at this time, thank you.
Thank you. Next is Fire Department. Chief Longcar, I believe I see out there.
Hi, good morning, Commissioners. Jerry Longcar for the record. Nothing to report. I do have an agenda item later. We'll go into detail with it.
Great. Thank you. Public Works, Jason Wurzbicki.
Good morning, Commissioners. I have nothing new at this time.
Fair enough. Thank you. Mike Northan, Projects. You out there, Mike?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Northan, Operations Projects Coordinator, for the record. Just have one quick update. The BNT Freight Depot, we have the vault for the fire suppression piping. It has been punched through for the pipe. The vault will be set tomorrow at about 11 o'clock, be set into the ground, and I expect work to resume next week on that fire suppression system. Beyond that, I do have an agenda item coming up, so we can get it out there.
Great. Thank you. Vice Chairman Mitchell, any questions for Mike?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again, Mike.
Thank you.
Cool. Moving on to Communications Dispatch, Becky Parsons.
Good morning. I have nothing to report today.
All right. Thank you. Next up is Emergency Management, Joe Curtis.
I am here, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Glad to see you, Joe.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Vice Chairman. Brief report this morning. Just so you're aware, we have a total now of 75 cases of COVID in the county. We only have 5 active cases, however. We did also have an additional death about a week ago, and so we are up to 3 deaths within the county at this point. We have had no new cases, however, over the past 8 days, so we're looking pretty good in that regard. The Quad County is still pretty high, but it's beginning to drop, and looking good. And our positivity rate for Story County is still down at the bottom, along with Eureka County, with 0 positivity rates. If you were to be looking at any of the statistics on the internet out there, you might see that Story County is flagged. And in discussions, it appears to me that there's some anomalies with statistical factors, and it has to do with the fact that you can't order people to do testing, for one, and our small population of the county. The percentage factors work that kind of to a disadvantage to us. So if people are not getting tested, they're not because of probably complacency factors, feeling of security, a feeling of better well-being, and that sort of thing. So the last testing site, we have only had 23 people participate. But that's the same as it's been in Carson Douglas and Lyon as well. Dropped way down like that. So we're as a county, actually, we're in pretty darn good shape. We did the vaccinations last Thursday, and it was a full-day event, and it was for the 70 and over. So if you are still 70 and still, or continuing to be 70 and over, and you're looking to make an appointment, then we recommend you contact the Story County Senior Center and speak to Annie, and we'll help you get an appointment for the next time that we have a point of distribution for vaccinations in Virginia City. So we're not sure exactly when the governor will open up down to lower numbers, but when we do find that out, we'll certainly advise everyone as best we can through various sources. I'm sure you've all heard by this time of the governor's loosening of occupancy rates for various types of businesses and events and functions within counties' environments. They're quite lengthy, so I won't go over them with you, but I would recommend anyone that has an interest in getting those information as to the occupancy rates, that they can get online and search for the February 2021 revised Nevada's Roadmap to Recovery. It'd be under Nevada's Roadmap to Recovery if they're interested in looking that up. Other than that, at this point, that's about my report for this point in time, unless anyone has any questions.
Thank you, Joe. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions for Joe today?
I don't. Thank you.
Thank you. And neither do I. Thanks again, Joe. Keep fighting the good fight.
Thank you.
Moving on to community relations. Ms. Laura Mather or Honey Tapley, are you joining us today?
Good morning, this is Laura Mather. I have nothing to add, but I believe Connie does.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning, Honey Tappy, for the record. I wanted to talk a minute about our volunteers that have been helping us with our testing pods and also our vaccination pods.
Mm-hmm.
The Gene Posse joined us back in July of 2020 when we started with the testing pods. And overall, since then, they have dedicated 223 hours, a little over, about 223.25 hours. And during that time, we have had, you know, they worked with us through the heat of the summer and also these last few months of winter. And they are outside volunteers. They are outside the entire time, and that means standing in the weather. And they show up after they have different surgeries and things of that nature, and every time, every one of them has the best attitude. And it is just a real pleasure to be working with the Jeep Posse. Also, the CERT team joined us in December when we started doing the vaccinations. And since we started the vaccinations, the CERT team has done over 107 hours. So, and that's just in 6 weeks. So they have dedicated a lot of time in the last 6 weeks to us. And honestly, they have had the worst weather to stand out in. And some of them will be outside for over 9 hours at a time. And it is impressive because they show up early, they don't want to leave, and they are out there in the most inclement weather. And the vaccination pods can be a little challenging in the sense that some people show up wanting vaccines, and if they aren't in the eligible priority lanes, they aren't able to get them. With the snow, traffic has been an issue because both times, the first time especially, we had all that snowfall. And so working around the parking, and both of the events have been for, you know, 70 plus. So we've been very careful with how we monitor our parking and getting people as close as possible to the building. And again, our volunteers stand outside the entire time. They are not inside with the rest of our team, you know, providing vaccinations. And I can't imagine doing these events without them. In total, All of our volunteers in July have worked 330.75 hours. And I think that's a real testament to how much they love our county. And again, I have never seen such joyful people work in such inclement weather for so many hours at a time. It is amazing. And this last vaccine quad we had last week, it was held by Safeway, and over again they told us how well organized it was and that it was the best vaccine pod they had worked to date. And that is due in great part to our volunteers because our staff is very small. We cannot be outside while working the inside. And we are just so grateful for both the Jeep Posse and the CERT teams because these events would not be possible without their help. And that's the end of my report.
Thank you very much for that, honey. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any comments?
I was just going to say how proud I am of our community and specifically the GPOSI and the 13th. It's one of the things I love the most about living in Storrs County is the dedication that our neighbors have to making sure that our community works and that people are taken care of. So thank you for that report. I'll be sure to express my thanks personally to each of them.
I agree with Vice Chairman Mitchell's statements. I've been out there myself. They are definitely two hardworking bunches, and we are very lucky to have them. So, again, thank you for the report, honey, and we will catch up with you in a couple weeks.
Thank you.
Up next is the Virginia City Tourism Commission. I believe I saw Denny out there.
Hey, good morning, Commissioners. Denny Dotson for the record, and thank you. I'm going to kind of carry on with the theme there of what Joe had mentioned about the loosening up of occupancy limits, as well as Honey talking about the community getting together. One of our campaigns last year was that was everyone's a local, and it was really focused on making everybody feel like they're our neighbor here. And so, no matter where you're from, who you are, or what your background is, one of those things that came out of that was a strategic workshop was a thought to carry on this theme to start focusing on mid-week shoulder season visitation. One of the things that we're starting this Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m. is Everyone's a Local at Night. And it's really, we've got about 22 merchants between restaurants, regular merchants. We have attractions that are opening up. We have some saloons. We have pipers opening up with the bingo. We've been doing that a little bit. It's a theme bingo. We actually have our local Lady in the Tramps is going to MC for us this Thursday night. We'll do some theme stuff going forward. But we've got our art gallery open up with hors d'oeuvres and wine. There's just all kinds of different things. And I think it's important that the reason I bring this up is that we support these merchants. We're coming out of a tough time, especially the last month. Over the weekend, we had a three-day weekend. The weather cooperated a little bit. We would normally have had a big saloon crawl. We didn't do that. We did some other stuff with occupancy, teaming up with packages with the hotel rooms and the restaurants and whatnot. And it still seemed to do okay. So we're going to continue that messaging and that thought process as we look at a couple other events until we get back open to regular occupancy limits where we can do what we would consider a true special event. But anyway, just want to bring that up. This Thursday, 5 to 8 p.m., there'll be a lot of information coming out in the next couple of days, but I'd like to see everybody on the boardwalk supporting our merchants. Thank you.
Thank you, Denny. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions for Denny?
I don't. I was just going to say that I spread the word a little bit about that. I got a really positive response from some of our neighboring communities, both in the county and outside the county, and I will continue to spread the word, see if we can get just enough of a crowd, not a huge crowd, just enough of a crowd.
Great, thank you. Thanks again, Denny.
Yep.
Moving on to the comptroller's office, Jennifer McCain, are you with us today?
I am. Good morning, commissioners, madam clerk, and county manager, everyone else. I have an item on the agenda later. Nothing for right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to the assessor's office, Janice Seddon.
Good morning. I have nothing this time. Actually, I guess I do, but next week we'll have our Boards of Equalization. We have basically the same companies that show up every year, which are two, so I don't really anticipate a huge impact if there's any change, but just kind of a heads up. We have, I believe it's Greeley Development and Walmart Distribution Center, and we also have one residential, which usually won't have much of an impact if there's a change on that either. But at this time, we'll just have to see how the Boards of Equalization come out. But other than that, that's all I have.
Great. Thank you. Vice Chairman Mitchell, any questions or comments for Jana?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again, Jana. Moving on. Planning Department. We have Kathy or Lindy with us today.
Mr. Chairman, Senior Planner Kathy Canfield asked me to speak on her behalf.
All right.
She's at a rail commission or a rail summit for the Nevada Department of Transportation today, representing Story County. She just wants to let you know that there's one planning commission vacancy that's still being looked to be filled. We've been receiving applications, and interviews will happen very soon, and then we'll recommend a replacement for the Virginia City Precinct 1 district momentarily.
Great. Thank you, Austin. Vice Chairman Mitchell, any questions for Austin?
No, thank you.
All right. Moving right along, the recorder's office. Marnie, are you with us today?
Hi, good morning, Chairman and Commissioner. Nothing to report today.
All right, thank you. Moving on to the IT department. James, you out there?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. James Dean, Story County IT Director. All I have is we're working on a microwave link between the water treatment plant and the new device facility. I got Mike Norton working on a structural mount for the microwave antenna because the wind blows pretty good over the divide right there. So we're working on buying that into the roof, making it nice and strong for the long-term connection. That's all I have today. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything for James?
No, thank you.
All right. Moving on to human resources, Toby.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have nothing to report today.
All right, thank you. Community development, Martin Azevedo.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. I have nothing to report this time.
All right, thank you. Community chest, I definitely see you out there, Eric.
Yes, good morning, Commissioners. I have nothing to report today.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Senior Center, Stacy York.
Good morning. Nothing new to report today. Thank you.
All right. I believe I saw the judge out there. Justice Court, do we have Judge Harrington with us this morning?
Yep, I'm here. Hello, Judge Harrington here. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay. Yeah, nothing to report other than we're getting closer to our move-in date to the new facility. That's about all that's going on.
Great. Those are going to be exciting times.
Yes, it's going to be an exciting event.
Looking forward to a tour.
Yes, thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, any questions for the judge?
No, thank you.
All right. Moving on to the DA's office, either DA Langer or Assistant DA Loomis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have nothing to report today.
Okay. Second to last, County Manager, Austin Osborne.
Thank you. I'll be brief. Just to let you know that Linda Ritter is still working with our departments on the strategic plan for the county. She's working with Public Works and Community Development, their teams independently. She's also reviewing a strategic plan that IT has already put together on their own, and she'll work with those folks to make any adjustments for 2021. And ultimately, when the departments are done, then we'll work out with the community and then ultimately to this board. Next, as Mr. Dodson had talked about, the governor has relaxed some of the restrictions, and he's made a statement that on May 1st, he'll be handing over a lot of control over to the counties on business opening plans. So at this point, we're putting a task force together for us to work internally on that and come up with a plan to propose to the governor as put forth by him, and to work with the community in doing that. So there'll be some public workshops and some other opportunities for our business community to weigh in on what that plan might look like. And that's what's starting now. That's all I have.
All right, thank you. Vice Chairman Mitchell, you have any questions for Austin?
No, thank you.
All right. Last but not least, our County Clerk, Vanessa Stevens.
Nothing today, thank you.
All right, thank you. I want to thank all the department heads and their teams for being here this morning. Appreciate the updates. Moving on to item number 7. This is discussion only. No action will be taken. Updates and discussion from county lobbyists and staff regarding upcoming bills and legislative action affecting Story County. Austin.
All right, Mr. Chairman, thank you. Mary Walker, our lobbyist, she was not able to make it. She's down in the legislature or virtually dealing with a bill right now. So I'm just going to cover 4 bills that we're really watching carefully.
Okay.
There's other people that are on here, elected officials and staff, that may be looking at their own bills, but they may want a copy or a comment as well. Senate Bill 94, this is kind of trespass on ways bill. It defines the way that, when you have a road encroaching through your property, how you might be able to put no trespassing signs on it or put gates and fences up and where and how. It provides clarification for that. It deals with the clarification on encroachments of roads and clarity on, the types of roads, messages, things like that. We're looking into a lot of details of this bill. Again, it's SB 94, and there's a lot of work to do on that. AB 90 is very important to us. This is a Washoe County bill, or come out from Washoe County. It would essentially make every single construction and building permit in Story County to have to go through a regional board with Reno, Washoe, and Sparks to look at the impacts that that company might cause on the neighboring jurisdictions. And then after all of that vetting process is done, then we can consider, issuing building permits for anything after paying, impact fees to these neighbors. If something like this happened, there wouldn't be another building permit issued in this county again. It would completely stop all construction at the Tahoe Industrial Center. And otherwise, the bill even applies to the landfill, which Washoe County benefits from much more than even we do. It applies to all construction, everything you can think about it, try. So we're not real feeling that this bill is going to make it through, but we're taking it very seriously. We're putting a tremendous amount of data research into this to make sure that if it does end up in committee and gets, gets some traction to it, that we're ready to push against this bill very hard. And part of that research is there are lots of financial benefits and other ways of Washoe, Reno, and Sparks in the region are getting in directly from sales tax dollars going their way, franchise fees going their way, other benefits. So we're watching that. SB 67, this is a public works bill. This would change where if a project is under $250,000, we could do the project in-house without having to go to bid. This would really be a positive impact to the county if this is approved. The $100,000 cap right now is costing the taxpayers a tremendous amount of money in the public works projects that we're doing that we otherwise would be able to do with our own staff, but are unable to. So we're watching that. And then last but not least, is Senate Bill 98. This is Story County's bill and is sponsored by Settlemyer and Wheeler. This would bring Story County officially into the Carson Water Subconservancy District as a participating member in order for us to participate with them regionally on FEMA projects, flood mitigation, and other things affecting Virginia City, Gold Hill, and in this case, probably mostly Mark Twain and the Mark Twain Estates. It's important here that this will result in no tax increase. This would be just we pay into them just like a fee through the general fund. And it'll also help us with maintenance of our community rating system points with FEMA and our flood rate. So got any questions? Be happy to answer. And again, we may have some folks on with us today that have their own bills are watching.
All right. Before I ask if there's any public comment, Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions for Austin regarding his update?
I don't have any questions.
Thank you. Is there anybody out there in Zoom land that has any questions for Austin?
I
or any department heads that would like to chime in regarding a specific bill? I'll give it just another second. All right, not seeing any. Thank you for that update, Austin.
Chairman, if I may.
Yes.
I just wanted to make a comment that I appreciate Austin giving us that update. And, you know, that those are some of the big ones, of course. Certainly, there are hundreds of bills that are coming through, and staff is monitoring all those. They're doing an excellent job. And so you know, he's hitting the highlights, but rest assured there's a lot more work going on behind the scenes, and we're making sure we're on top of all of it.
Agreed. Thank you. All right, moving on to item number 8. This is a discussion for possible action. Provide direction to county staff and lobbyists on representing Story County regarding potential legislation related to innovation zones and other property-related matters. Austin?
All right, thank you, Mr. Commissioner and Chairman. Austin Osborne, County Manager, for the record. At this point, this is a standing item on the agendas, just to monitor and see what is happening out in the legislature. With regard to any bills pertaining to the innovation zones. At this time, there is no bill that is out circulating. There's some documents and other things, but not a bill. So at this time, staff has been monitoring any activity coming out of Carson City. We've been researching and preparing, and we're building our response team and looking at all kinds of elements with, you know, land use, financial, risk and legal, and, you know, other types of things that potentially may come about. But the most important thing at the moment is there's not a bill out there that we can assure that we know what territory we're working within. So at this point, staff does not have a recommendation to take an official position other than to continue monitoring, continue putting our team together and researching. And then ultimately, if it may not even happen, but if a bill does come out, that this board then have a chance to reconvene and then provide staff and lobbyists direction on how it feels we should respond to that bill.
Thank you, Austin. Thank you, Austin. I do agree with you. I feel that the prudent action for the county is to wait until there's an actual BDR before making any decisions. So I'll lean over to Vice Chairman Mitchell. Do you have any comments?
Yeah, just a couple. You know, as there is no bill, you know, we've been talking about ideas and proposals. Certainly, you know, it would have substantial impact, because we want to make sure that we understand fully what those impacts would be. And just like staff, I'm not sure you, Chairman, you know, researching and consulting and discussing, gathering feedback. And the one thing that I think I would recommend, if you're okay with it, is opening up for public comment in case there are people that want to weigh in on this item. So just so we can gather any feedback at this time, and then if it's all right, I would like us to maybe have a special meeting on tap so that we can pick this up if we do actually get wording on the bill draft for this.
Thank you, Vice Chairman. I was going to move to public comment next. So.
And Mr. Chairman and yep. Mr. Mitchell, or Chairman, or Commissioner Mitchell, I do want to point to your attention that there is a Board of Commissioners meeting scheduled for February 19th at 2 o'clock. It is just put there in case the bill were to come out this week. If the bill does not come out this week, then we would just ask to not have that meeting. We might schedule another special meeting at another kind of end of week period, just in case that happens to be the week the bill comes out. And that meeting would certainly also be a time that public comment would be allowed. Thank you.
Great. All right, so move on to public comment. Is there any public comment regarding this item?
Yes, sir. Eileen Gay here. I do have public comment I'd like to add to this topic.
All right. You have the floor, Eileen.
First of all, Commissioner Mitchell and Austin Osborne, thank you very much for your consideration and keeping an eye on this particular topic. We very much appreciate it. My name is Eileen Gay. My husband, John, and I are Painted Rock residents. Although not excited about development here, one that is thoughtfully designed and conceived could be acceptable. That said, all of the agencies that blockchains say will slow down its construction are there for good reason. Oversight is what makes for safe, well-considered, well-balanced development. To have blockchains show up, buy a large chunk of land in our little county, and by waving a lot of money around as inducement to the state, jump over all that has been carefully put in place to protect the environment, the public, and various long-term relationships and interest in the area is unconscionable. I suggest that if folks have not done so, please read the draft bill, although I do understand it's just a draft at this point. Items 20 through 30 are really scary. How is it in Storrs County's interest to allow the blockchain's fiefdom to remove this land from the county oversight and fiscal involvement? I don't see it. What is to prevent this 800-pound gorilla of a neighborhood, of a neighbor, from swallowing our small neighborhood up? Basically, how does any of the innovation zone help Storrs County? And I'm very appreciative that you're keeping an eye on it, because I think it's a very important and, frankly, scary issue. Thank you very much for your time.
Appreciate your comments, Eileen. Thank you very much. Moving on, Sheriff Antonoro has his hand raised.
Yes, thank you, Commissioner. As sheriff, you know, based on the draft language, as sheriff, you know, I'm going to deal with whatever comes up through the course of the legislation, and we'll deal with that. However, as a citizen of Storrs County, I'd like to kind of echo what Ms. Gate has said. You know, those regulations need to be in place to make sure that there are safety nets for our residents, though that especially live out there already. Also, you know, there's a procedure in government already for creating governmental entities, and the concerning factor for this is not the legislature creating it. They are enabling a governor's appointed board to set up governmental entities without even legislative oversight. So that's a big concern for me. It's just very poor governance. You don't get to change the rules just to do whatever you want to do if you don't like where you're at. Just my thoughts.
Thank you for your comments, Sheriff. I will allow some time if folks do want to chime in on this. You can either raise your hand, or if you're on a telephone, you can use star 6 to unmute yourself. If anybody else has any public comment, like the previous commenters, please state your name and your full name for the record. All right, public comment going once. Going twice, not seeing anyone. Again, thank you for those that voice their concerns and their opinions. All right, let's move on to item number 10.
Chairman?
Yes?
Before you launch into that, I just wanted to mention that both you and I and Commissioner Gilman, you know, we're happy to continue receiving comment written or verbal, and our contact info is on the county website. You can reach out to us directly. You're welcome also to, if other other residents of the county have comments they'd like to submit, they can do so to the county manager's office or the county clerk and the board without follow-ups.
Yes, thank you for touching on that, Vice Chairman. I did forget to mention that, but make sure that you let your assemblymen and senators know how you feel about the issue. Definitely reach out to the county as well with your concerns. So thank you for covering that, Clay. All right, now item number 10, board comments. Defer back to you, Vice Chairman.
I just have one that's actually on the top of my mind right now, and that is, there's been quite a bit of reorganization at the Commission for the Reconstruction of the DNC, which is not the private company that operates the Virginia Truckee Railroad in Virginia City, but it's the state agency, or the multi-county agency that operates the long line and works on down in Carson City. Because there's been a lot of turnover on board and some staff reorganization as well,
The commission is going to be holding a workshop to talk about some strategic planning, kind of the future, where we want to go, what are the needs, and how do we meet them. And that will be happening on February 25th at 10 a.m. That's the day of the regularly scheduled meeting for that commission, which happens at 1 in the afternoon. The idea was to invite anyone who would like to participate in that to do so prior to the meeting happening. And so, again, that's at 10 a.m. Those meetings are held at the Carson City Community Center. I don't believe we're clear to have public at the meetings, but there's a robust system there for people to dial in either by phone or so on. If anyone's welcome to reach out to me, I'll make sure that we get them. It'll be posted publicly, of course, but I'll be happy to forward on the information on how to participate in that. We'd love to have a really robust conversation about kind of where we go from here, coming out of COVID. That's really it.
All right. Thank you, Vice Chairman. All I have today is, unfortunately, some sad news. For those that don't know, Story County lost a wonderful resident, Lucy Bolden, passed away several days ago. For those of you that had kids, part of the library, you know what a treasure she was. She lived in my district in the Virginia City Highlands, and I had the opportunity to meet with her several times. And again, just a truly wonderful individual and will be missed. So, that's all I've got today. Moving on to item number 11. This is discussion only. Story County Investment Portfolio Review presented by Morton Asset Management. Vanessa?
Yeah. Vanessa Stevens for the record. I would like to introduce Ben and Jordan with Morton Asset Management. They oversee a large portion of our portfolio, and they're here today to give us an overview and an update on where the market is.
Fantastic. Thank you. Gentlemen, you have the floor.
Thank you, Vanessa. So me and Jordan are going to be presenting the interest rate environment and then also a quick presentation on the overview of being kept of the accounts. Jordan, you want to say hi to everybody? So Jordan's going to give you a live snapshot of today's market, and then give you a summary of the market pre-pandemic, during the pandemic, and ongoing. So we're going to share a screen with y'all. Go ahead, Jordan. We're having a little fuzzy. Try now, Jordan. Okay, so I will.
Jordan's audio is a bit low.
Okay. Sounds like your audio is a little low, Jordan. I can take it over from here. Okay. Sorry about that. We're having some technical difficulties. I'm not sure if it's a snowstorm here in Salt Lake City or what's going on. We'll share Jordan's screen. I'll actually take the mic. Can everybody hear me okay?
Loud and clear.
Okay. So with the pandemic coming on last February, the Fed actually cut rates 150 basis points. So what that meant is short-term overnight interest rates, you know, as far as investments are concerned, went from about 1.5% all the way down to zero in about 18 days. And so what Jordan is showing here is he's showing a live screen of the Treasury market. You can see on the left side there, it says 131.23, 215.24, and then 131.26. That is the 2, the 3, and the 5-year Treasury. Those used to pay in the 1.5 to 2.5 range. Historically, those have been in the 5% range pre-financial crisis levels. Since the last crisis, rates basically went to 1/20th of what they currently were. And so what had happened is basically just moved the decimal place over to the left, and now you have a new rate environment. So what George is showing here is actually showing the five-year treasury history. Back in the 80s, you know, as you can see, rates were actually in that 16% range. When the gold standard came off the dollar, since then, we've been able to print money and actually not really be accountable for it. You know, the Fed's been able to do that. As you've seen over time, we have gone down in the sub 1% range. You know, as you can see right now, that five-year treasury is currently at a 0.45. And so what this entails, what we're trying to show is the interest rate environment has been really challenging. Within Nevada state statutes, there's only so many fixed income investments that you can invest in. And so what we're working with is a really challenging investment environment. We're currently in the lowest rate environment known to man in America. But saying that, we've been working with Vanessa for about 3 years, and she's made some moves and done some things that has allowed us to bring some duration to the portfolio. And so we're currently in a situation where we've kind of seen lower interest rates coming. Now, we did not predict the pandemic. Nobody saw that, but we did think that 2019 was actually going to bring a lower rate environment. We did think that we were going to settle into that 1.5% range. You know, we did get the pandemic pullback, and currently, you know, we're in that 0% range. So, Jordan, do you mind showing the portfolio quickly? And then we'll go from there for the summary, the base summary. Base risk summary. Sorry. Okay. So, what we want to summarize here, with the portfolio for Story County, if you look on the far left, we currently manage approximately $26 million for the county. What Jordan is hovering over right now is a $266,747.97 unrealized gain. What that means is the portfolio has a ton of liquidity. Any bond in that portfolio, you can currently sell for a gain. Now, if you sold it all, the reinvestment market's really difficult. You wouldn't be able to get that interest rate back. And so what that means is the bonds that are currently held in this account, you currently can't get that yield anymore. A lot of these bonds were purchased pre-pandemic before rates dropped. And that is just a factor of taking on duration, buying bonds in the 2 to 5 year space when they're a little bit higher. If you look in the middle section of the portfolio, you know, our book yield is currently around a 1.1. When you compare that to the state poll, the LGIP right now is at a 0.27. So the LGIP is a little bit shorter term, shorter duration. It correlates very strongly with what the Fed is doing. And so Vanessa's foresight to employ a longer-term strategy. So the county's funds aren't controlled, you know, actually manipulated by what the Fed is doing. She's been able to balance the liquidity needs of the county and then actually having a longer duration strategy. That is bringing anywhere from $7,000 to $20,000 in additional net interest income on a monthly basis to the county, compared to just having the funds completely in the LGIP right now. And so it's actually been a really good move on her part. If you look at the middle of the portfolio, that shows our allocation mix. So currently we're running about 38% FDIC insured CDs. We do have a little bit of corporate bond exposure in there. And then with the rate environment being so difficult, we've actually moved to AAA rated government-backed mortgage-backed securities, you know, in an environment where yields are kind of in the 0.2 to 0.5 range, those are actually paying much closer to 1%. And so, you know, if you look up in the middle of the box again towards the top, it says WAL 1.875. What that means is your weighted average life of the portfolio is about 2 years, meaning that half of the bonds in the portfolio will actually mature in the next 2 years, and then half after. And so what you can rely on, if nothing changed, if we were still in this really bad interest rate environment in 2 years, your portfolio would still manage pretty well, and your interest income would be healthy. Now, if the same exact environment, you know, driven on for 4 years, which we don't expect that to happen, you would eventually go to a lower yield. You know, there's not much you can do at that point. What we do think, with all the fiscal stimulus coming, the devaluation of the dollar, the velocity of cash, we do think we do have some inflation on the way. You know, if you look at interest rates, the Fed controls everything that's short term, but then the market controls everything that's about 3 years and above. And so we do think we're going to get some rising rates here in the future. If that does happen, I feel like the portfolio is in a great place to really maintain its yield and then to increase over time. What Jordan is showing right now is a liquidity graph and a duration graph. It just shows the amount of money and when it's actually maturing. And so you can see that, you know, anywhere from 1 all the way up to 5 years, you know, is actually when the portfolio bonds are coming due, which is a great sign because we don't want to have to reinvest that much right now. But if rates do start to come up, hopefully the timing is right where when these start maturing, we'll be reinvesting in a higher interest rate environment. So I think that's about our 10 minutes. Since we started working with Manessa, the county has made a net interest income total amount of $1.044 million. You know, so that's in the last 3 years. You know, it's an additional million of additional spending cash that the county can use. So it's been a pretty successful program so far. So we are wrapping this up. I would love to field questions or answer any questions. Please ask them if you got them.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate the report. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions?
So just to help us understand, you know, kind of that duration curve that we're looking at, I'm trying to understand how atypical or how much have we pushed it out compared to kind of if we were in a more typical interest rate environment, what that would look like.
Yeah, so we try to target about a 2-year weighted average life, and we will adjust that depending on interest rates. So if rates were high, you know, so say if they're like in that 2-3% range, and we felt like we were going to have a situation where rates are going to start to decline, we would pivot that 2-year weighted average life to closer to like a 3-year weighted average, because we want to hold on to those higher rates for longer. Right now, since we're in a low interest rate environment and we can't go much lower, everything that we're reinvesting is fairly short term because we want to be in a position where if rates do go up, we can start to reinvest more rapidly. And so we do have some floating rate securities in your portfolio. About 15 to 20% of the portfolio's floating rate. And so what that means is if rates do start to climb up a little bit, those will reset quarterly higher and higher and higher with rates. And so we try to hedge against that and kind of mitigate that risk. So right now we're a little under 2 years. We'll probably go a little bit shorter, but we try to target a 2-year. If you look at history of interest rates, look at government entities and how they manage their accounts, 2 years is kind of the bread and butter for risk and return. When you start going out further, you know, sometimes you miss higher interest rate environments because you're invested too long term to have enough coming due. And so we target 2 years. And you can see I'm on the portfolio with an unrealized gain of 267. You know, it's actually paying off right now. But to answer your question, this is a long-winded answer. We'll stay a little bit shorter than 2 years while rates are this low.
Yeah, so, I see the
I see the conundrum because the yield is on the long term, so we don't want to lock it in a current environment. So I'm fighting about leaving the flexibility if it went
up. Yeah. Yeah, it's really challenging because the only risk-free rate right now that's paying over 1% is a 10-year treasury, but it's the lowest yielding 10-year we've seen for a 6-month period. And so we don't want to lock that in right now. The 10-year's actually come up about 50 basis points in the last 4 months. And so we are watching that, but we're staying a little bit short. And we're also investing in securities that pay principal and interest on a monthly basis because they're yielding a little bit more, and we're getting our money back a little quicker so that we'll have more reinvestment options than just, you know, going out of higher secure picks right now.
Very good. I just have one comment, and this is actually a little more internal than, but as a result of your report, I think if we can keep in our minds that even though reported inflation is very high right now, actual cost in many of our categories are going up. So we look at this not as additional money to spend, but a way for us to keep up with the rising costs that we're facing. I think that's probably a prudent position for us to take. And I guess my last question is not really serious, but you know, I've heard that Bitcoin's been up quite a bit. I don't suppose that's an appropriate asset for municipal government.
Yeah, we wish we could link this portfolio to Bitcoin and real estate right now. you know, if you want to talk about inflation, you just look at automobiles, Bitcoin, real estate, and the price of the candy bar in the last 10 years, right? They've all double, tripled. So, within statute, we do have limits. We are talking, you know, about the taxpayer dollar, right? And so, NRS 355, 170, 171, they lay out the statute of what you can and can't invest in. And so we do have to stay within those confines. But Bitcoin is getting fun, you know, obviously for a lot of people that are in it, you know, a long time ago, but unfortunately, yeah, we can't get into it. So.
Very good. I appreciate the update. Thank you.
Of course, yep. Thank you.
Benjamin and Jordan, thank you for the update. Thank you for keeping an eye on things. And a big thank you to Vanessa for doing all she can to keep our finances in great shape. So, thank you. All right. Moving on to item number 12. This is discussion for possible action. Possible acceptance of bid from RMAC Construction and award of contract to install 3 4-inch conduit from NDOT right-of-way gate 14 on State Route 439 to the communications tower as fulfillment of county obligation under interlocal agreement with NDOT, NM535-17-016, in the amount of $92,200. Mr. Northan, you have the floor.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just as some background here, in 2017, there was an interlocal agreement between NDOT and Story County, which was approved by the Story County Board of Commissioners. And under this agreement, Story County would secure a parcel of land with access easements on State Route 439, and NDOT would then construct a microwave communications tower on that parcel for the use and benefit of state agencies as well as Story County. Now, this agreement required Story County to acquire the parcel, which the county did in May of 2017, build the access road, which the county did in November of 2018, and to install this conduit from the right-of-way gate up to the gate of the tower site. This is the only remaining part of our obligation under this agreement, is to get this conduit in the ground. So, Story County advertised for bids for the conduit installation. We opened sealed bids on January 19th of 2021 at 1,500 hours. We actually had a lot of interest in this project with 13 bidders. All the bids were responsive. They averaged at about $159,000. We did have 3 bids that were very high, which indicates generally some uncertainty on the part of the contractors. Probably had not done a lot of excavation in the TRI area. If we get rid of those top 3, we have a normalized average of $133,000, falling fairly close in line with our preliminary estimate of $120,000. We do have an apparent low bidder in RMAC Construction. Their bid is $92,200. Armac Construction has already submitted their contractor's license, their insurance certification, workers' comp, and Story County business license. So your staff recommendation is that we proceed with this work to fulfill our obligations under the interlocal agreement. This will also make the inbound tower available to our communication and IT networks, which will only enhance system performance and reliability. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, you have any questions for Mike?
I don't know. I just was going to comment and say that, I was pleased to see that we were able to, never even find me complain when we come in under budget, and especially with this much interest in the project. So happy to see it going forward.
All right. I don't have any questions for Mike. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you like to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to accept the bid from Armac Construction to award the contract to install 3 4-inch conduit from NDOT right-of-way gate number 14 at State Route 439 to the communications tower in the amount of $92,200. This will fulfill Story County's obligations under the interlocal agreement with NDOT NM535170.
All right, there was a motion. I will second that motion. So there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Moving on to item number 13. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of contract between Story County and J&A Consulting Group, LLC, for professional services related to proposed legislation financially and otherwise affecting Story County. Austin, you have the floor.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne, County Manager, for the record. Pretty much self-explanatory with some of the legislation coming forward and these sorts of things. We'd like to consult with JMA Consulting, that will provide us financial background analyses and projections and feasibility and all those kinds of analysis and recommendations. With the contract that's in front of us, I would like to change the not-to-exceed amount from $3,500, that was a little bit of a default amount in the contract, to $10,000. I think it's more appropriate, but I don't think we're going to get anywhere near that. And also to add in here that the consultant can provide testimony during legislative sessions, if needed, on our behalf to provide financial testimony.
Great. Thank you, Austin. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Again, I'll give it just a moment. Star 6 to unmute, or you can also raise your hand. Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman, do you have any questions for Austin?
No, I don't have any questions. I've heard good things about Janet. I think that this is prudent, especially with the magnitude of some of the bills that have been introduced or maybe introduced.
So. All right.
Mr. Chairman, if you so desire, I do ask in the motion if you can add the $10,000 not to exceed amount and the testimony addition to your motion.
I took note of those. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I do not have any questions, but I do echo Vice Chairman Mitchell's sentiments. It's good that we're getting these folks lined up. That way we make sure our bases are covered. So with that said, not seeing any public comment, Vice Chairman, do you entertain a motion?
Yeah. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the contract between Story County and J&A Consulting, LLC, for professional services related to proposed legislation financially and otherwise affecting Story County, with two changes. First, that the not-to-exceed amount be increased to $10,000, and second, that the consultant be allowed to provide testimony on our behalf in front of the legislature.
All right, there is a motion. I will second that motion. So there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Austin. Moving on to item number 14, this is for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible approval for County Manager Austin Osborne to sign the subgrant agreement between the Nevada State Historic Preservation Office and Story County in the amount of $32,699 for the fieldwork phase of a larger effort to update the survey data for buildings and structures in Virginia City, the Divide, Gold Hill, and surrounding historic district areas within the county. Laura, you have the floor.
Good morning. Laura Mather, Community Relations Coordinator for the record. This grant is through the National Park Service. It's from the National Park Service through the Nevada State Historic Preservation Office. It is part of our responsibility as a certified local government to keep our survey of the historic buildings within our district updated. This also allows us to access to grant fundings. I'm happy to answer any questions if you have any on the grant.
Thank you for that, Laura. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Mr. Tipton, do you have something to say? No?
I'm not just preparing the fire. I've got my stuff next.
No problem. Thank you. So not seeing any public comment, Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have anything?
I guess my only question would be, are there specific deficiencies in our current survey, or is it just kind of a routine update that we need to do to be up to speed on the current situation of the district?
That's correct. It's just an update of our existing survey. It has been a while since we have completed a survey, so we definitely want to get going on it. And we will be working with graduate students. We'll have two teams of two graduate students that will do the survey for us. They'll be working with myself and Nevada State Historic Preservation Office staff as well. And I mentioned in a previous commissioners meeting, they will be staying at St. Mary's Arts Center. So it's a great way for these students to get thoroughly immersed in the history of Story County.
Fantastic.
That's great. Thank you.
No other questions, Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. I don't have any questions for Laura. So, Vice Chairman, would you like to entertain a motion?
Yeah. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the signing of the sub-grant agreement between the Nevada State Historic Preservation Office and Story County in the amount of $32,699 by County Manager Austin Osborne.
All right. There is a motion. I will second that motion. So there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Laura. On to item number 15. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval for County Manager Austin Osborne to sign Far West Engineering Task Number 37, amending the master agreement allowing Far West Engineering to provide professional GIS services to assist Story County in updating their field survey of historic structures in the Comstock Historic District area to remain compliant with the State Historic Preservation Office. Laura, you are back on.
Thank you. Laura Mather for the record. So this is part of the SHPO grant, and what this is for Far West Engineering to create an app that will allow the students who are doing the survey to add information to our existing GIS system to help survey and track the buildings within our district. The $18,000 project cost is included in the SHPO grant.
Great.
And as you see, Lucas is on board with us if you have any technical questions when it comes to the app.
Great. Well, let's go to the public first and see if there's any public comment regarding this item. Not seeing any. I'll move on to Vice Chairman Mitchell. Do you have any questions for Lucas?
No, I don't. I think this is great.
I concur. Sorry, we don't have anything for you, Mr. Tipton, but look forward to seeing the app when it's done. All right, with that said, Vice Chairman, would you like to entertain a motion?
Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the signing of task number 37, amending the master agreement, allowing Far West Engineering to provide professional GIS services to assist Story County in updating their field survey of historic structures in the Comstock Historic District area to remain compliant with the State Historic Preservation Office.
There's actually one more part on the next page. I missed that as well. It says the total cost.
Sorry.
I believe that's correct.
Sorry. Do I need to include an amount?
It says the total cost for this portion of the project is $18,000, which is included in the Historic Preservation Fund grant.
I can add that to the motion.
Yeah, it's right above item number 16. It's on the next page.
Okay. Do I need to start the motion over? Can I just add that off in the end? Mr. Littman?
Let's start it over.
Okay. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the signing of task number 37, amending the master agreement allowing Far West Engineering to provide professional GIS services to assist Story County updating their field survey of historic structures in the Comstock Historic District area to remain compliant with the State Historic Preservation Office. The total cost of this portion of the project is $18,000, which is included in the Historic Preservation Fund grant.
All right, there is a motion. I will second that motion. So we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Laura, and appreciate your effort on the grants.
Thank you very much.
All right, moving on to item number 16. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible action directing the comptroller to notify the Nevada Department of Taxation that Story County will not be changing the property tax rate for fiscal year 2021-2022. Mrs. McCain, you have the floor.
Good morning, everyone, again. This is more of a housekeeping issue since this has not been a topic that we have discussed or proposed any changes. All this is sending a letter to the Department of Taxation that Story County plans on keeping the tax rate what it was. This has to be sent in and received by the Nevada Department of Taxation by February 21st.
All right. Thank you for that. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions for Jennifer?
I don't have any questions. I'm certainly happy that we're not increasing rates, and I'm hoping that before too long here, we'll be able to have a discussion potentially lowering our rates. That's something that can come in.
All right. I don't have any questions. So, Vice Chairman Mitchell, if you'd entertain a motion.
Can I just interject here one second?
Sure.
One other thing. I want to make sure that you realize this is not setting the tax rate. That will happen in July. This is simply letting taxation know we're not going to change it.
Yep.
And if there are any proposals to change it, it could not be in the fiscal year 21-22.
Noted. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that clarification. All right, Chair, if you're ready for motion, I'll go ahead with that.
I'm ready.
I, Commissioner Mitchell, hereby approve and authorize the comptroller to send the Nevada Department of Taxation the attached letter notifying the Nevada Department of Taxation that property tax will remain 3.4607% for fiscal year 2021-2022.
All right, there is a motion. I will second that motion. So there is a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Jennifer. Item number 17 is to recess to convene as the Story County Fire Protection District Board. And that brings us to item number 18. This is for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible action to approve the District Fire Chief to enter into an agreement for fuels reduction with NV Energy. Chief Longcar.
Jeremy Longcar, for the record. That item is one we're going to push off till the next meeting, so we can go ahead and proceed to number 19.
My apologies. Thank you for catching that. Item number 19, discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible action to approve the district fire chief to enter into an agreement for services of a medical director for Story County Fire Protection District. You're on, Jeremy.
Commissioners, this is something that we are required by NRS to be an emergency medical service provider. We must have a doctor that is what we call a medical director for the district. Our current medical director is slowly phasing out. We've been looking for a new one. We did find one. It's going to be slightly more than our past one, but we're going to get a lot more out of it as well. He seems very active, wants to come up, ride with the guys, have our guys spend time in the hospital, really engage with our medics, make sure we're delivering the best possible service we can provide. So this is a standard contract that has been sent to the DA's office for review. It mirrors one we're currently operating under with our existing medical director. It does automatically renew every year until we decide either him or us that we want to terminate it. But we'd like to get this started into effect just as soon as possible, since our current medical director, his insurance ends the 28th. So we need to move on this fairly quickly and get this new guy on board.
Jeremy, are you able to tell us who it is?
I can tell you, and I do have it written in here as well. His name is Scott Shepard, and he operates out of Renown.
Okay.
Center of Reno.
Great. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions for Chief Loncar?
I guess my other question is just what are we looking at as far as the increase? Is it the hourly rate?
The hourly rate is staying the same. The difference was is we split our current medical director with several people. So it went from $2,500 is what hit our portion of his insurance we were paying to where the new gentleman here, the new medical director, it's $4,100. So there was an increase there, but as that medical director is phasing himself out, everybody's going to incur those costs.
Gotcha. Thank you.
All right. I have no questions, Chief Loncar. So if Vice Chairman Mitchell is so inclined, entertain a motion, please.
Yeah, I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the District Fire Chief to enter into an agreement for services of the Medical Director for the Story County Fire Protection District of Alabama.
All right, there's a motion, and I will second that motion. So a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thanks again for your work on this, Chief.
Thank you.
All right, that brings us to item number 20. Recess to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. And that jumps up to item number 21. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of business license second readings. Is there any public comment regarding item number 21? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you like to entertain a motion?
Wait, are we getting a Chick-fil-A in Story County?
Probably not on C Street.
Maybe it's doing a food truck for the park.
Before you start a motion, I will say I saw a line building up at 8 in the morning for a Chick-fil-A in Carson. So.
Yeah, maybe do we need to do a traffic study?
I think we should look at investing some money in there, Vanessa. All right, so enough jokes. Are you ready, Vice Chairman?
Yes. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the second reading of business licenses listed in the agenda.
All right, I will second that motion. So we've got a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number 22. This is the second time public comment is available. If you have anything to say, this is your final chance for today. I'll give it another second or so. Not seeing any public comment. That brings us to item number 23, which is adjournment of all active and recessed boards on the agenda. It is 11:31. I call this meeting over. Have a great day.